If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Restore the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chilling. You?
Doing good, baby. Doing good.
Good. I'm excited, guys. A lot of good playoff basketball was played last night with the second round of the playoffs starting. You know, plenty to talk about, but, you know, the big MVP award came out yesterday, so that's where I want to start off. Nikola Jokic, the bad man out of Denver, won the NBA MVP award, becoming the first player in Denver Nuggets history to win the award. So a lot of credit to Nikola Jokic. You know, I've liked the guy for so long, and he's obviously made the strongest campaign this year, not only putting up great numbers, guys, but also remaining healthy for what was a long, strenuous season. I know it was a condensed 72-game season, but I think even for that itself, he deserves a lot of credit, knowing that they were playing so many back-to-backs. So Nikola Jokic, congratulations, my man. You're a phenomenal player. I'm glad that you got the award. But I'm going to start it with you, Pride. MVP prize came out. We got the Coach of the Year that came out. But we still got a couple awards that haven't been handed out yet. But at the moment, do you think that the voters are getting the awards right?
So far, yeah. I mean, who would you vote for if you're not voting for Jokic? The only way you're not voting for him is if you frankly just don't like him. That's really it. I mean, like you said, he hasn't missed a game. Straight up 72 games. In those 72 games, he's giving you a 26-10-8. And he's a big man. The most under the – JJ, what ESPN call him? The dad bod god? That's my dad bod god right there. You heard me? Like, this dude, 110%, they got this one right. There was no debate at all. And honestly, dare I say, maybe even if LeBron was healthy, dare I say Jokic probably still could have won it. I would have given him a solid chance to still win this. So they definitely got it right. In terms of fake MVP, he only got it because Donovan Mitchell was injured. That's cool. I'm glad you're here, Jace. I'm glad. Take a seat. Sit down. Pop some drinks. Because I heard you on the Boston podcast saying how you thought Quinn Snyder should be the Coach of the Year. I'm going to tell you right now. If he got Coach of the Year, the NBA needs to burn the award, throw it away, poop on it, then bury it. Quinn Snyder doesn't deserve to even be in contention for it. Point blank, period. Tom Thibodeau literally saved the Knicks. We're not even going to talk about him. Let me go back to Jokic. I mean, look at this dude. Literally a walk. He almost a triple-double. This dude is the closest thing to a triple-double outside of Russell Westbrook.
He's the point.
And the thing is, the stats that he does, it's not just him, oh, yeah, let me go fill up a stat sheet. That's not what it is. In Jokic's mind, he's like, yo, what do I need to do? Oh, you want me to get 25 boards? Easy. Oh, wait, you need 30?
I can do that.
You need 35, bro. Oh, you need 10 assists? Hey, I'll do 20. Like, he does this stuff for you, for his team to win. So, in terms of the MVP, they definitely got it. Coach of the Year, Tibbs. There's no debate. No debate. Coach Tibbs deserves Coach of the Year. I mean, think about it. Compared to last year, bro, this man single-handedly, I don't care what no one says, single-handedly got them to the four seed. The only, like, most of the team was the same. Most of them was the same. My man Tibbs comes in there, all of a sudden they're four seed. So get this Quinn Snyder garbage out of my face, bro. I don't care. Like, I don't care what no one says. Quinn Snyder gets outcoached more than people realize. But nobody wants to talk about it. Why? Because it's the Jazz, and no one even wants to talk about the Jazz, period. That's the only reason why people don't really mention him. He gets exposed to the point where it's hard to even – I question, why is he even head coach? Dude gets so exposed, and the only thing you see him do – listen, we thought – we was out here calling – who were we calling Coach Clapp? Not Garrett. Who was just calling Coach Clapp? Who was calling somebody Coach Clapp, right?
Coach Clapp has always been Jason Garrett to me.
obviously Jason Garrett. But this dude right now gets exposed. And you said best record in the NBA, but exposed left and right. They do get exposed, 110%. And the reason I say they get exposed, there are if you watch a Jazz game, there's a long stretch where they get dominated. And the only reason they somehow get into it is because then they end up taking their starters out, and then you guys still have to leave your starters in because you guys are in a deficit so much. So this whole garbage nonsense about, oh, my God, bro, Quinn Snyder's a great coach, you can miss me with all that. In terms of Sixth Man of the Year, that one was right. I mean, Jordan Clarkson was the epitome of sixth man. If I'm not mistaken, I don't even think he started less than five games. And he's out here playing sixth man minutes, and he's giving you solid production. James, be grateful, because for once, I'm going to say something nice about the Jazz. Jordan Clarkson definitely deserves sixth man of the year. I'm not going to take that from him. Like, again, the numbers he was putting up, especially coming off the bench, it was to the point where, like, he basically controlled the second unit. Now, it sucked for them because sometimes, even though he was in control of that second unit, they were still getting mollywopped because they were so down so much. But, again, that's neither here nor there. Now, who I think is over in Rookie of the Year, I'm going to give it to Anthony Edwards. That's just me. Now, obviously, it's a two-man race between Edwards and LaMelo. The NBA desperately wants to give it to LaMelo. They are desperate for this kid, bro. They desperately want this kid to be everything, that everything he's been advised about. Personally, I like Edwards a little better. He's giving me more points, but at the same time, he's played more games. Me? I'm taking him because of his energy. I mean, the dude is not, like, he don't care. He's like, yo, if I'm scoring 0 points, you still going to see me hustle on defense. And that's something not a lot of guys do. There are some parts of his game. I mean, he's a rookie, so there's part of his game that can be that needs to be worked on and whatnot. So, obviously, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, Anthony Edwards is the best. Like, you know, he could potentially be the best. No, I'm not going to say that. But in terms of his rookie class, I do like him. He does have a lot of energy. I would give it to him. It's definitely going to be a two-man race. I'm giving it to Edwards. And defensive player of the year, Jace, here comes more Utah Heat. More Utah Heat. Because Rudy Gobert don't deserve it. He shouldn't even be in the conversation. I don't care what no one says, bro. That man, Ben Simmons, deserves it. I don't care what anybody says. And if you disagree, you don't know basketball. Point blank, period. Because Rudy Gobert can block. Well, guess what? Ben Simmons can guard 1 through 5, no issues. This man was doing that. And by the way, before people say, oh, my God, what about the playoffs? Again, that's recency bias. My man had, like, what, maybe 2 games that he's been letting people go off on him? We gonna ignore Washington? We gonna ignore the regular season? But, again, you know, I'm definitely taking Ben Simmons. If you get Rudy Gobert and you have a three, if you got a small forward and you pull Rudy Gobert, have to pull him out to the 3-point line, the dude looks lost. The dude does not know what he's doing out there. It sucks for him. And before anyone says, oh, well, it's size. Giannis is big and he can go out there and he looks better than what Rudy Gobert looks like. Dude out here looking like he in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean with a boat with no paddle. Dude don't know what he's doing. My man out here doing spin arounds on a simple hezzy. Come on, bro. And that's your defensive player of the year? That's your defensive player of the year? Yeah, you can miss me with all that. So 110%, I'm going to give it to Ben Simmons. They're probably going to give it to Rudy Gobert because the NBA has this weird infatuation with him. It's bizarre. It's almost as if, like, they got sick of Draymond and they were like, oh, yeah, let's talk about Rudy. Like, it's weird. Real bizarre to me. So I'm definitely taking Ben Simmons, and that's just me. But so far, have they gotten it right so far? They have gotten it right. Even if they get the next two wrong, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal because it's like, what, of the five, you got 3 out of 5? I won't kill them for it.
Yeah, no, you made a lot of great points, Cried. I think they added a few more awards recently. I think they added awards like Teammate of the Year, Sportsmanship of the Year.
Yeah, those don't count. Those don't count.
What's it called? Well, I mean, they do because they're
that's
awards.
That's so. A participation award. That's participation.
What you want, but
sportsmanship. I'm getting slapped by 30, and I'm gonna shake everyone's hand.
They're still being given out. So I mean, they added a few. Damian Lillard was Teammate of the Year. That was definitely for me like a big one for him because Damian Lillard always gets, you know, swept under the rug. A lot of people don't pay attention to him because he doesn't play, you know, in primetime games. But the fact that he's able to win Teammate of the Year, that's definitely. That speaks volumes to the type of person that Damian Lillard is. MVP, obviously. Congratulations to Joker, man. The dude dominated, and he was healthy. Like, the guy played all 72 games in a condensed season, like you mentioned prior. JJ, remember, there was no practices either. Like, teams were barely practicing because there were so many games, you know. There were a lot of back-to-backs, a lot of back-to-backs. So a lot of teams didn't practice. And the fact that this man was able to stay healthy and produce wins in the top conference in the NBA, you know, that shows a lot. This man is a point center. This man is a center running your offense. Not only is he running your offense in the half court, the man is running the fast break. Now, you guys made a funny reference to him having the dad bod. You know, when you see Joker the court, it's like, it's so funny because he's the biggest, the slowest, but he looks so clumsy. But he's not. The dude is actually very skilled. His finesse game is phenomenal. He can improve. It's crazy because he just won the MVP, but he still can improve. The kid can, you know, start to get a little bit more stronger in the paint, bullied less, because there are still guys that give it to him on the offensive side of the court. He's not the best defender. You got some analysts saying that he could jump on top of a curb. Every time I hear that, I die laughing, because, you know, it's kind of a knock on his athleticism. But what he lacks in athleticism, he has in IQ, in core ability, and he's really like a prototype center in today's game. So he's definitely revolutionizing the center position and what they can provide to you to come. Shaq had a glorious quote saying, "You brung the big man back," because there hasn't been a big man to win MVP since Shaq in 2000. So, you know, the fact that Joker did it, congrats to him. Defensive player of the year, I'm not going to give it to Rudy Gobert either, because we all agree that he can't guard every position. He can guard your power forward and your center, but if you got a center like Joker, you got a center like AD who can go outside, it's problems. Embiid can definitely bully a guy like Gobert, so it gives him problems. I would give it to Ben Simmons as well, Pride, because he's really good. And the fact that he has a guy like Thibault that's learning from a guy like Ben Simmons, those are two great perimeter defenders. I believe Thibault, within the next 5 years, he'll be a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. He reminds me of a lot of Bruce Bowen. I haven't heard anybody say anything like that. That's just me talking. Every time I see Thibault guarding, like, you know, the Curry on the perimeter, the Klay Thompson on the perimeter, like a lot of perimeter players, he has that Thibault type. He has that Bruce Bowen type of body style where he gets up in you and he distracts. So Thibault's definitely from years to come, but I got Ben Simmons winning it right now. I think he's just the most polished defender in the NBA right now. There's not a lot of guys that can go off. The only award, honestly, guys, that I feel like the NBA didn't get wrong, but I feel like for me, I would have preferred personally Monty Williams, the coach from the Suns. I mean, you talk about a complete turnaround with the Knicks. Probably the Phoenix Suns last season were literally in last place. And yes, a lot of has to do with Chris Paul, but for sure, Monty Williams and Chris Paul being an extension of Monty Williams on the court, showing leadership, that all goes from top. A lot of the times we talk about success in organizations at top. And when you got a head coach like Monty Williams, who's finally taking the reins and having Chris Paul being, you know, helping him on the court, he's done a phenomenal job with Phoenix, turning them into a title contender overnight. So I would have gone with Monty Williams over Thibodeau, but Thibs, you know, he instilled that toughness in New York that New York's been slacking ever since Allen Houston and the Charles Sprewell days. So Thibodeau definitely turned the Knicks around. So for sure, I don't know what the hell Jay's talking about, Dan Snyder. Even though I'm not gonna say he gets exposed too much, because from start to finish, Pride, the Utah Jazz have been top five in offense and top five in defense. So I don't really see how they've been exposed much, because they've had the record in baseball and basketball for the entirety of the season, and they've been top five in offense and defense. So I don't know how they've I've been watching the games, and they've
I'm not just about that. Have you seen a Suns game in the regular season? I'm asking you.
Oh, Suns game.
No, I'm sorry. The Jazz. I'm sorry, not the Suns. I'm sorry. The Suns.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I even saw a few games while Donovan Mitchell.
That can't be true, because like I said, he began exposed a lot.
Do they not have JJ? Do they not have the best record in basketball?
I don't understand
where he's getting this from. Are you watching the games, bro? Are you watching the games from years back? That's what I gotta ask.
Donovan is a legit superstar.
Dropping 40 on Kawhi and Paul George. Get some. But anyway,
he's a superstar.
That's the only JJ that I really have, you know, that I would have differently. Most improved player of the year, Julius Randle. He definitely improved from what he did in New Orleans to New York. So for sure. Sixth Man of the Year. They had two players. Utah Jazz had two players on for that award. They had Ingles and they had Clarkson. So that just goes to show again, like the Utah Jazz as a team, they're actually really good this season. I don't think they're a threat to win it, but they definitely were a really good team, respectable during the regular season. JJ, the rookie of the year, though, I know you said Edwards because he was healthy the whole season, but I still think that the impact LaMelo had on the Hornets was greater than the impact that Edwards had. Because other than those spectacular dunks that you saw during the season from Edwards, what impact did he really make on the Timberwolves? None. You see LaMelo, a young age, playing with pros, coming into the league, kind of doing similarly things that Luka did when he entered the league, playing in Europe with the pros. So, yes, absolutely. Were the Hornets not in contention to make the playoffs before LaMelo got hurt? When LaMelo broke his hand, that's when the Hornets went downhill. And actually, LaMelo still finished the season. And the Hornets got a
play. You're comparing to Luka Doncic is like so ridiculously stupid.
You don't watch basketball. You don't watch basketball. LaMelo was a pro playing 16 playing pros. Come on now. You must not be watching Hoop is Life or nothing. No hoops, ain't nothing.
Whoa. So time out. So instead of watching the game, you're out here watching Ball is Life mixtapes?
Is that not how LaMelo, Lonzo, is that not how NBA players are?
Meanwhile, Anthony Edwards is averaging more points and he's more of a defensive.
What impact did he do for the Timberwolves? I'll wait.
Who's got the better overall team, the Hornets or the Timberwolves? Who's got the better overall team?
The Timberwolves got Carl Anthony Towns. They have a legit dominator. They have D'Angelo Russell, who's got
the better overall team, top to bottom?
On paper? Are you serious? Other than LaMelo Ball, who else do the Hornets got?
Gordon Hayward had a solid year. So did Terry Rozier.
Gordon Hayward. Please.
They both had solid years.
Terry had a good year.
Okay, again, we're talking to a dude who don't watch basketball. Right, that's who we're talking to. I don't even want to engage in this conversation about LeBron.
That's who you watch basketball with.
I'm not even going to waste my time having a conversation with a dude who said LaMelo Ball has the same impact as Luka Doncic. When you say stuff like that with a straight face, that's right there is when people look at you and go, nah, there's levels to it. There's levels to it. This kid is nowhere on Luka's level. So for you to say that, that right there is just ridiculous, bro. There's no way he's got that.
You guys both made great points. I think that you guys, you know, I think we're going to hat trick Nikola Jokic, definitely MVP. You know, there's no way you could give it to anybody else. Guys like Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, Giannis made all good campaigns, but at the end of the day, Nikola Jokic was undoubtedly the best player, most deserving too. Like I said, he was the first guy to do in Denver Nuggets history, so I'm very proud of him for that. You know, I'm going to throw out a name for Coach of the Year that I feel is not getting enough consideration. Nate McMillan, when he took over for the Atlanta Hawks after they fired their initial coach and has taken over, this team actually plays some defense, have actually won a playoff round. They're still competing in the NBA playoffs. This team has surpassed what we thought this Hawks team was going to be this year. So I think he deserves consideration, but, you know, I do think that considering what Coach Thibodeau has done with the Knicks, you definitely got to tip your hat to him. You know, he's also the first coach to win the award in his first year of being at a team two times because he did it back. I can't recall the year, but he did it back when he was with the Bulls with that D-Rose-led team. So a lot of kudos to him. Sixth Man of the Year. Oh man, this kid, man, Jordan Clarkson. He's like reincarnated Lou Williams 2.0, but better. Like this kid coming off the bench. I don't know how he's gonna be able to be coming off the bench moving forward, coming next season, because he's just so damn good that you kind of want him on the floor. But I get your point, Pi. When he's on the second unit, he commands that thing, and I love that he has the free flow and the all green light to do whatever he wants with that second unit because he deserves that. He's developed that much cachet as the sixth man that he's given that right for that. I'm going to hat trick the whole defensive player of the year through you guys too. Ben Simmons, the point of him guarding 1 through 5, that's just invaluable in this day in the NBA to be able to guard those positions. I like Rudy Gobert a lot. I'm not going to say that he's a scrub on defense because, you know, he's already a two-time champ in that category. He doesn't install fear in the paint. Everybody who tries to drive on the Utah Jazz knows that you're gonna have that big old Eiffel Tower. His big old hands gonna be there for a block, and he showed how valuable he is last night against the Clippers when Marcus Morris tried to shoot that three pointer and actually had him out there, and he actually made the block and eventually put the pressure that sealed the game. So, you know, I think he's a very good runner up, but I got to give it to Ben Simmons just for the versatility that he presents on the court. And rookie of the year, I mean, I love LaMelo. I like him a lot, but I got to give it to the Edwards kid. You know, I understand your point, Sander, about the fact that he didn't impact in the win and loss column. I get that a lot, but I feel like that has to do more or less with the team and not necessarily himself. LaMelo definitely had a lot of impact when it came to the Charlotte Hornets, but I got to deduct points because he missed an extended amount of time with that hand fracture. And I gave him a lot of credit because he was supposed to have a season ending surgery, and he actually ended up coming back and playing for the play-in. And obviously they didn't make the playoffs, but nonetheless, I think he deserves a lot of credit. I think that he showed a lot of toughness in that, but the Edwards kid was amazing. He had some of the most amazing highlights this year too. And the sense of dunking, this kid, I want to see him in the dunk contest next year. I have to, because the way this kid was just jumping on everybody, he's definitely cemented himself as one of the best sleepers in the league. But nonetheless, I do think that the voters got it right. Like I said, Coach McMillan pride to me, this I think should have deserved a little more consideration for Coach of the Year. But because he didn't start off the year as a coach all the way through, I understand why Tim edged him on that. But I'm not mad that Tim Thibodeau got the award.
Honestly, I forgot all about Nate McMillan. I ain't even gonna hold you. I honestly, from when I was thinking who's gonna be Coach of the Year, my first thought was Tom Thibodeau. That was my first thought. And then the second name was Monty, sort of. But again, when I think Coach of the Year, I don't usually think of 2-3 coach. Usually for me, it's like that one coach as a standout that did his thing from Jokic God that bad. But there's usually, when you think of Coach of the Year, it's like, okay, from start to finish. That's kind of what you usually think when you think. So, you know what I mean? So, for me, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I got Thibodeau. But honestly, if Nate McMillan won it, I wouldn't even be mad. I wouldn't be pressed at all, to be honest. Because, like you said, when he – ever since he came in and took over, he's got these kids running sets. Like, before, it was just kind of like Trae Young running around and whatever happens, happens. Now, it's like they're running sets. Like, Trae Young is, like, running legitimate plays. Where like there's times where like he'll give the ball and you actually see him kind of go away and like play off ball. And I think that that has to do with Nate McMillan kind of looking at him and say, look, kid, you're good. You're a star, but you're not punking me. And I think that's kind of what this this Hawks team needed was like a coach who would come in and be like, yo, we're running this, whether you like it or not. And I think at first they were kind of begrudging about it, but when they starting to get wins, they kind of Doc Rivers should have gotten more toss because he's got the. You can make that personally for me. The only pushback I'm gonna give is just the fact that like you can't give him the main reason when the 76ers team has been a top seed before. So that's kind of when I'm gonna be a little, you know. But again,
Fact that he inherited an already good team.
Yeah. But again, I mean, Doc Rivers throwing his name out there, that's definitely not a bad one. Frankly, amid with all the entire COVID, that whole COVID thing and injuries, Rick Carlisle. I mean, he still managed, obviously, with Luka Doncic as a superstar, of course, but he still was a main reason to help and keep that boat afloat for them to get a top four seed or top five seed. I'm sorry. So, yeah. So, I mean, look, with everything like that, I mean, a normal coach would have kind of shrugged his shoulders, called it a wash, and said, let's move on. But the fact that he went forward, but can we talk about D. Rose getting a vote for MVP? Like, who? What fans? They were like, oh, yeah, it's the fan vote. Well, I don't know what fans watching basketball, bro, because that's ridiculous for him to get that. I'm like, bro, whoever voted for him, bro, the NBA needs to dox them. And then after that, take away their NBA league pass away from them. Because ain't no way Derrick Rose should have even been in the conversation, JJ. Like,
I think they should give us a collective vote. You know, I think if we all collected right here, we could all do a little vote ourselves instead of that guy. Because that guy voted for D. Rose, Sander. What the hell is wrong with him?
I'm like, for six man, maybe. But, like, MVP?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would understand a vote for six man, but MVP?
Maybe he could have got one of the trophies that Jed Pride called the participation trophies, right? Teammate of the year.
If it's you, bro, we'd be handing it to everybody, bro.
Sportsmanship of the year.
Like Jay said, I'm with him, bro. Because the next thing is gonna be Water Boy of the Year. Like Jay's commented, bro. That's gonna be the next one, bro. Like, and then what's gonna be the next one? Grandpa of the Year. You got Udonis Haslam coming trotting out here to get his award. Like when you start sportsmanship and Teammate of the Year, for me, that's a reach. At this point, what that is, that's kind of the equivalent
of the Walter Payton Award. It's the equivalent of the Walter Payton Award in the NFL. It's just like that. The reason why they give the sportsmanship trophy out is for what you do off the court. You know, you help out the community and all that all that stuff. So, yeah.
So, sportsmanship
I will give more validity to the sportsmanship award than I would Teammate of the Year.
100%. Like, if you want to, he slept
my butt the best the whole year, so I'm going to give him the Teammate of the Year.
Yeah.
I don't like that one, Sander. I just don't.
Because think about it, bro. If I'm playing, right, and I'm getting slapped by 30, am I shaking dudes' hands after the game? Nah, you ain't seeing me, bro. I'm embarrassed enough. I'm gone. You ain't even going to catch me in the post-game interview.
You're going to pull out LeBron. You're going to leave in like 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of like Jimmy Butler no-showing to get swept. Yep. I'm gonna pull a Butler.
This guy.
You get so defensive, bro.
Why you get so defensive and emotional anytime anybody says something about LeBron, bro? You're a Celtics fan, because people like you are trying to disrespect LeBron for no reason.
You're mad that he went back there.
You just said you would do the same thing, bro. You're contradicting the hell out of your own argument. I didn't say I was gonna leave early.
I said after the game. I'm not touching away, exactly. So don't come on, bro. I get it.
LeBron did the same exact thing the very next game, like nobody's hand, and he just walked off the court.
Guys, nonetheless, this is not a LeBron topic. LeBron's great himself. We could have another day.
You'll get there one day. Keep stretching.
Nonetheless, guys, you know, like I think we all had tricked the whole Nikola Jokic. Congratulations, Nikola Jokic. I'm so happy you're the MVP now. Hopefully you get a bounce back win against the Phoenix Suns because the Phoenix Suns came out hot and show Jokic, hey, it's going to be a tough 7-game series. So it's going to be a good one. But I'm going to switch over to the MLB because speaking of tough, yesterday Gerrit Cole came out with a video conference that was awfully tough for me to watch. And for everybody that's watching, we're going to play the video for you right now because I don't even want to watch it. I've seen it 100 times and it just hurts my soul every time. Take a look.
And have you ever used spider attack while pitching?
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Bro, I don't know how to answer this, JJ. I just don't know.
Have to be honest with you guys. I thought my phone was tripping. I thought that I was lagging. I was like,
I reset my internet.
You're not bugging. Why is it so choppy? Yep. why is it so choppy? Like, what? He's blinking. So it's in real life. He's blinking. Like, what's going on? Why is he so stuck? Oh, Sander, this is such a bad look, you know, for our guy Gerrit Cole. We're obviously both Yankee fans. We hate to see our guy be in a situation. You know, I made the point in our group chat that I know he's not the first guy or the last guy that this is going to happen to. You got to stay the guy at the moment. Gerrit Cole, being such a superstar that he is, has to receive heat. Obviously, I'm an objective Yankee fan myself. He deserves all the heat in the world for this one, Sander. But nonetheless, you know, the MLB is doing, you know, taking their time to make sure they crack down on these substances that are going around. So what do you think is next for the MLB?
You know, our brother talks about this a lot. These unwritten rules in baseball, right? So, you know, these are rules that's been passed down from, you know, years and years and years. So guess what, MLB? Crack down on every stupid unwritten rule you guys have. All these unwritten rules that you have that all the players, they don't get bothered by it. The coaches, you know, they don't get bothered by it. Because it's just, you know, we know what's going on. We police ourselves on the field. All that BS nonsense, get it out the game. Because you're kind of like flip-flopping. You don't know what you want. You want more offense. You want the balls juice. Then the balls are too juiced. There's too much offense. Now you want to crack down on pitchers having more control on the ball. Something that they've been doing this since the 80s. They've been doing this literally before the steroid era ever started. They were doing this to have more control on the pitches. And quite frankly, podcast after podcast, player after player, current player, retired player, Hall of Famer, all say the same thing. Now, a lot of them speak the same sentiment when it comes to baseball, its pitching situation. A pitcher, a batter would 100% prefer a pitcher having 100% control of the ball. Because guess what? If it is a fastball in the strike zone, it's not going to veer off to the side. It's going to go in the strike zone. It's not going to go ahead and get away from them and possibly get hit in the head. It's actually going to go where the ball needs to go. My whole thing with this is, like, you guys literally kill pitchers for basically doing what they're supposed to do, what their job inscripts them to do. And now that the batting and the hitting is at an all-time low, every team is literally career lows in hitting and stuff. Now you want to crack down on this and be like, oh, we need something to do to make sure that the hitters are able to hit. How about hitters get better at hitting instead of worrying about smacking home runs? How about you teach these hitters, instead of worrying about getting up and hitting a bunch of home runs, why don't we teach these guys how to hit? There's a bunch of hitting coaches out there that are still great that can teach these teams, because everybody is infatuated with the long ball. Because if you're a position player, they're basically, the more home runs you hit, the bigger your paycheck is going to be. And it's been damaging baseball forever, ever since that steroid era. Now, in order to basically lead the league in home runs, you got to hit over 50. Or sometimes in the steroid era, it was, if you wasn't hitting 60, 65, you wasn't leading no home run race with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. But now that the pitchers have the upper hand and they have more control, it's like, oh, we need to do something because the games are becoming more boring. What do you want to watch? This is baseball. This isn't football. This isn't basketball. This is a sport that's really reliant on your defense more than your offense. Because I don't give a damn how much you could score. You can't stop nobody in baseball with your pitching. You're not going to win anything. So the fact that Trevor Bauer out here giving recipes, talking about cooked Coca-Cola, a bunch of different, like what he said, cooked Coca-Cola and kangaroo tar, some type of nonsense that these players have been. I say, when I hear Coca-Cola, boiled Coca-Cola, I already know that's a recipe from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So the fact that now, all of a sudden, because batters are being, oh, man, there's something with the extra spin on the ball. There's too many spins on the ball. Dude, learn how to hit. Learn how to hit. And guess what? You want to make this even, MLB? Legalize all the substances that require better grip. Or make it so at least the MLB has one grip, something for the pitchers to have more control of the ball. Because the last thing I want to see is the pitchers not have control of the ball, and now you're getting batters getting hit. You're getting a bunch of basically bad pitches. Man, this is all nonsense. This is literally the MLB cutting off their nose just to save their face. Because out of all the professional sports, the major professional sports in the United States, guys, MLB to me has been one of the biggest, always has been, always will be. They endorsed the steroid era back in the 80s and the 90s, and now in the 2010s, now with more technology, now it was frowned upon. Now, like, oh, we don't want to revert back to that. But, dude, a pitcher having more control of a ball, 9 out of 10 players, retired veterans, Hall of Famers, prefer a pitcher having more control of the ball. This is corny. It's like basically saying, you know, I was watching earlier, and a guy says, it's like me driving 65 miles per hour on a 55 mile per hour. Am I breaking the law? Yeah, sure, but are you really going to pull me over for 65 on a 55? If you do, you're an asshole. So, honestly, this is how I look at it. MLB, you guys look like clowns. You look more of a clown than Pride laughing the whole time I'm talking. But anyways, let him tell it.
I love when you guys get spicy. Sandra, you said a lot, you know, and I feel like, you know, I want to break down one point that you said about the unwritten rules of baseball. I feel like I've always thought that they should be a book for those things alone, because – I don't agree with the unwritten rules. I just feel like there should be rules or not rules. This whole in the gray area thing has always confused me. And I feel like it's always damaged the MLB to a certain degree. I do want to crack down on Gerrit Cole, though, because he is the guy right now that's on the spotlight for that. I hate to see it because he's one of my favorite all-time players. And I remember, you know, you mentioned our brother. He goes by the name Jose. You know, he cracked down saying, like, oh, is it coincidence that he's struggling the last few games when this has been going on? Now I'm starting to see, now that I've seen the pattern, maybe there's something that's really, there's some substance between there. I do remember last year, Gerrit Cole had a little cold stretch around this time of year, and then he ended up bouncing back. So that's kind of why I refrained back, because he ended up having an overall good year once he got past the cold stretch. All great pitchers go through a cold stretch, so I wasn't fully concerned. But because this was just so bad for me, Pride. Like, when I saw Gerrit Cole, like I said, like you said, you rerouted your router, like you had to refresh your page. I had to do it too, because I was like, why is he not saying anything? It was arguably one of the worst press conferences I've ever seen in my whole entire life. It was a bad thing. As of what can the MLB do to uncover these things? Do your homework. Like I said, take that unwritten rule stuff, break it all down, put it all on a table, or make a brand new rule book so everybody knows coming into, even if they want to make it effective coming into next season, have everybody come into the league the next season all knowing what it is and what it's not, Pride. And then that way, you know, everybody's on an even playing field.
To me, this is hilarious. So, like, you said I was a clown for laughing. You're a clown for defending him. Point blank, period.
It's defending cheap. Who?
Gerrit Cole. Because you're trying to paint like a victim. Oh, well,
this clown said I'm defending Gerrit Cole. Oh, when did God, I say that?
He's trying to get more control of the ball. He
didn't even say Gerrit Cole's name one time.
He's a buffoon.
He's trying to defend him. Doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
He's trying to paint him like a victim. He's not a victim. The dude cheated. Point blank, period. He cheated. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And this isn't just something that just came up. When he was with Houston, this dude was involved. I'm going to say a name. Maybe people might not remember. Does anyone remember a dude by the name of Brian Harkin? Does anyone remember that name? No. Let me indulge you. He was a man who used to work for the Angels who sold something, a substance, to visiting pitchers. Ironically, who was the one guy who he actually threw the message about? Gerrit Cole. He's been doing this ever since he left the Pittsburgh Pirates. Because when he was in Pittsburgh, he looked like a solid pitcher. All of a sudden, he gets to the Astros, and the dude looks all of a sudden like otherworldly. Are other pitchers doing it? Yes, they are. And frankly, they all need to get out of here. Because I don't care what anybody said. Don't be like, oh my God, the guy now has better control. No. You're trying to say that the batters need to hit better? The pitchers need better control. Because if you can't control and you need to rely on a substance, you shouldn't be pitching. That's just me.
How Chris Sale pitches,
period.
When he comes
That's
back.
It. If you cheat, you cheat, period. Stop trying to justify it. Stop trying to sprinkle, be like, oh, well, he did this for this. Because guess what? When the Houston Astros cheated, everyone cheated. Yeah. But you Yankees fans still crucify them, right? So I don't want to hear this garbage about, oh, my God, he's doing it because he needs more control. At the end of the day, cheating is cheating. When we cheated, guess what? You didn't see me saying, oh, well, we had to do it. No.
I didn't cheat. You said the rest of us didn't cheat.
I said the conclusion is that we didn't cheat. Me and Jose had a whole conversation about this with y'all. When we sent out the evidence, they basically cleared us. Is there a chance that we did? More than likely. There's a high chance because that's the only reason we would have gotten Alex Cora. That's the only reason we would have gotten rid of him is if we had done something. And there was a guy that we fired that was in charge of the video stuff because he was involved with that. I held this to the standard. I said, you know what? Point blank, period. Regardless of the team, if they're cheating, they you got to get caught and you need to be held to a standard, especially a guy like Gerrit Cole. When the Yankees took him, he was what? At worst, the second best pitcher on that pitching staff. At worst. Some people said it was Verlander. Some people said it was him. Regardless, when he came to New York, you guys are supposed to hold every single player to the highest of standards. And I just find it funny how when he get not again, because again, this isn't the first time he's done this. Josh Donaldson called him out. Oh, yeah, we all know he's doing something. You ask him, yo, tell me you cheat without telling me you cheat. I've done a lot of stupid stuff in my life, bro. And when I get caught, I'd be stuttering like crazy, bro. This is the first time I've seen a man look in the camera and mentally stutter. I've never seen something like that before.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen, Pride.
With each passing second, bro, with each passing second, I'm just – the first time I saw it, I was waiting for him to go, you know what? Yeah, I did it. So stupid on my part. Whatever happens, happens. Because that's how long the pause was.
That would have been better.
Yeah, because the pause that he had was like a, oh, no, I'm caught. Like, I almost started expecting him to just – yo, he was sweating. It was like – y'all watch Key and Peele? You remember the one where his girl was like about what you want to the computer? He's like, yo, that was Garrett Cole right there, bro. Garrett Cole's mad. And I'm like, bro, if you cheated, just come out, admit it, move on. Now, what the MLB can do, they can go one or two roads. Whatever road they go down, they're going to have to commit. I don't care what road y'all go down, but y'all going to have to commit. Either A, say, you know what? Rosin don't work. We'll give you guys something else, and let's see if this helps you, and let's see if that cuts away from it. If you want to do that, do that. Or be like, it's not allowed. If you're caught, you're suspended. They got to pick a road. I don't care. Now, what road you pick, I don't care. I could care less. I don't care. The only thing I want from the MLB for one, bro, show me a little bit of consistency. Be like, yo, we're going to do this, and that's it. But keep going in that direction. Because here's the thing. Either way, the game is gonna be changed either way. It's either you're gonna give them the control that these guys keep begging and asking for, saying, yo, bro, this ain't working, give me this. Either you give that to them and the batting is gonna tank, but at least the game is a little clearer. But even then, that I don't think it's gonna be any cleaner, because guess what's gonna happen? Now you're gonna have dudes trying to pop stuff. And with this day's technology, bro, they gonna try to find ways to go through it. That's my concern with that road. But then the other rule, if you don't do nothing and just if you just go, well, we're going to crack down on everybody. I mean, again, some of these guys have been getting away with it for so long. So to me, it's like.
But did you hear the rule that they implied that they're going to do? So basically what it is if they suspect it, check this out. This is what they're doing. If they suspect it before you, they suspect it when you leave mound that inning, right? When you're coming back, before you touch the plate, before you touch the mound, they're going to expect it. And they're for every single game, if you have something, they're going to suspend you for 10 games with no pay. So but that's a rule that they, because the collective bargaining agreement for baseball.
But that rule's broken. No, that rule's stupid. And the reason I explained that, the reason I'm saying it's stupid and why it won't, it's not going to work. You want to know why? That rule was a rule before.
Yes, I know.
The managers came out and said, hey, yo, look, that guy's
not fixing
anything. The only thing you're doing is just screaming out a rule that existed, and then they're pretending, oh, yeah, now we're going to do it. No, the rule's been existing before. Yeah. The pitcher from Dylan Bundy, when he was on the Orioles, that's how he got caught. The manager was like, hey, yo, Skip, let me holler at you real quick, bro. John Farrell came out and said, hey, yo, listen, last time I could have sworn I saw something, bro. Go check. That's just how they always get caught. So that's what I'm saying. That rule to me is pointless, because that's what they've been doing. I mean, look, if you want to crack down, this is just me. If you want to crack down, excuse my French, we're going balls to the wall. Boss, I'm getting. I'm hiring somebody. If I'm the MLB, if I'm Robert Manfred, guess what I'm doing? Yo, give me resumes. I'm gonna have somebody in that dugout from the MLB. Every time they pitch, hey, yo, let me see that ball. In between every inning, let me see the ball. Feel it. Okay, we good so far. If they want to crack down,
I feel like that should have been like that already.
That's what I'm saying. If they want to crack down, now again, the MLB, they're weirdos. They're weirdos. They don't know what they want to do. They wake up one day and go, you know what? We don't like batters, bro. Let's get them out of here. Then the next day he goes, pitchers are kind of clowns too. Like, they don't know what they want to do. So to me, it's like, pick a road, whatever. And again, if you want to crack down, like I said, for every game, you guys have a donk-a-donk zillion amount of umpires, right? There's some umpires who don't work all the game, right? So instead, why don't you get an ump, put them in the dugout in between every inning, field the ball, let's see. Okay, this is good. Keep going. Because, frankly, it's getting to a point, bro, where it's like, look, yeah, it's cheating and it's wrong.
They need to check the gloves, Pride. They need to check the gloves, the fielding gloves, not the ball.
Check everything.
The stuff
check
is on the gloves.
But you're going to feel the stickiness on the ball, too. But if you want to do the gloves, too, do that, too. Check everything. Yeah. You can check everything. Have someone in that dugout. Have them check them. Check their hat. Check the net. Yo, whisper sweet nothings in their ear, bro. Look his low if you want. Get in there.
Clear. Check his cup. Clear. Like I said, there's stuff that's clear that they're using that's clear. There's stuff that's the color of literally black pine tar. There's stuff. There's literally some blue cream. They're using surfboard, some stuff with like surfboard wax or something.
Yep, the wax. I think if it's the wax, if you melt it, it's like when you melt the wax, I guess like that becomes sticky. Dude, and it gives
when players like Bauer are tweeting recipes in full of what pitchers are using. This isn't a last week thing. This isn't a last month thing. Like I said, this thing has been going on. The recipe for Coca-Cola, boiled Coca-Cola, that dates back to the damn Babe Ruth days. So this has been going on forever, guys.
Yeah. Still cheating.
Nonetheless, guys, and I agree, Pride, cheating is cheating. And I just feel like this is such a bad look for the NBA. And like I said, a really bad look for Gerrit Cole being one of the superstars in the league. You know, like, I'm a Yankee fan, but I got to be objective against my guy. You know, cheating is cheating. Sorry, Cole, man. Hopefully you just get your stuff back together, just like the rest of the guys. Everybody wants a clean game always. So hopefully the MLB, you know, cracks it down, because everybody loves a good baseball game. But everybody's favorite part of a baseball game, though, is a home run, guys. Everybody loves seeing a home run, especially if it's a two-run shot, three-run shot. And if you get a grand slam, it's the best home run of them all. And currently, Vladimir Guerrero, oh, man, he swings just like his dad, doesn't he, guys? Him and Ronald Acuna Jr., they currently lead the majors right now with 18 home runs a pop. And you got three other guys, including Fernando Tatis Jr., Shohei Ohtani, with 17, Sanders. So, you know, a lot of guys hitting dingers left and right. You know, it's going to be a tight race, I feel, till the end of the year. Who do you think is going to win out?
Well, it's crazy because, you know, the race is tight right now. You got the top five are basically all tied for first and second. It's so funny. But I'm going to go now, even though it's a little bit too early for me, I'm going to go with the guy out of the top five that strikes out the least, honestly. And that's Vlad Guerrero Jr. This man, a lot of, you know, MLB analysts, they say the same things. Like, oh, he's great. He's amazing, just like his father. When I see the man swing, it's two things. It's violent and it wants to go far, honestly. This, like, the only thing I haven't seen from him yet is possibly hitting a home run like his dad did, that the ball bounced off the ground and his dad still smacked the home run off that. I'm waiting for one of those moments. But nonetheless, the kid is nasty, man. I'd give Toronto crap, but, you know, this kid right here, he's nasty, man. The kid right now, he's batting a .335, a .441 on-base percentage. His slugging percentage is over .600. Still, the dude doesn't strike out, guys. He doesn't strike. He barely strikes out. Out of 206 at-bats, he has less than 40 strikeouts. He's striking out at 37. That's a real great clip. You know, Acuna, he's a guy that strikes out a lot. He out of 198 at bats, he got 50 strikeouts. Shohei Ohtani, as great as he's been and phenomenal he's been, he's another guy that strikes out a lot, over 60. And you know, Tatis Jr. is probably the closest to Vlad in that category. But again, Tatis Jr. is another guy that swings for the fences. As much as dangerous as Vlad Guerrero is, you know, swinging for the fences, the guy to me, when I swing, is he's trying to make contact, period. He don't care if it's a home run. He don't care if it's a long ball or a long fly ball, get to second. He's a hitter. He's not just dependent on the fly ball. So I think the best chance is Junior, because Toronto, to me, they're going to be playing from behind a lot. He has the freedom to swing at whatever he wants. The manager, you know, gives him the green light, because there was games that were 0-2, 1-3. And with one swing of the bat, this man ties up the game or takes the lead. So when you got a guy like that, you're given the green light. He's young. He has a legendary father in Vlad Guerrero, who's taught him very well. I mean, I've seen the commercial. We all seen that commercial of Vlad Guerrero Jr. and his dad, you know, about, I always knew you were going to be a star the second I saw you, all that stuff. So Vlad Guerrero was definitely taught well. He was definitely raised in a really good farm system in Toronto right now. I think it's his award to lose, because Acuna to me is a guy that I think he's gonna slow down a bit. Another crazy reason too, for that I got Vlad Jr. winning is because he's not playing in Toronto. I don't know if you guys noticed, these guys are playing in New York. These guys are playing in Buffalo, New York. So the air is different in Buffalo to where they play in Rogers Center in Canada. The stadium, if you ever look at the stadium that they're playing in, it looks like Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford. It looks like a minor league stadium. So, I mean, I think he has the best chance to possibly, you know, win the home run title, but maybe break a few records too while he's at it, because he's so good of a pure hitter. And strikeouts are real low. The guy's a smart hitter. But I don't see him slowing down. If anything, I see him staying hot the rest of the season. So I got Vlad out of everybody.
So first and foremost, I just want to talk about Jesse Winker. He's third. Four guys you mentioned. Jesse Winker, people don't really know about him. People don't really talk about him because, unfortunately, he's in Cincy, which is kind of like the Utah Jazz or like a Portland Trailblazers type of place where, like, unfortunately, they don't really care about you. I mean, the dude's batting .346, got 17 home runs, 37 RBIs. I like him. I have been keeping an eye on him. Not too much, though, because, you know, the Reds, but you know, I do like him. Now, who do I think is end up gonna win the home run? I got Fernando Tatis Jr. For one reason, one reason only. You basically said about this nonsense about strikeouts, and then you contradicted yourself because then you said Vladimir Guerrero has a green light. So it's like in order for you to use that green light consistently, you gotta be willing to strike out. So when I see a guy who, listen, because you're saying all that, but guess what? My guy got more strikeouts, and he's still in the top five. So when you know what I mean, like if we were at the point where Vladdy had like 27 or like 25, right? And then these guys were like probably like the 17, like if they had the same number, okay, sure. But you're like the lack of strikeouts. There's no correlation to the home runs. There's none. And the reason I say there's none is because you said Acuna strikes out a lot. Ironically enough, he's got the same number of home runs as Vladdy. So the whole strikeouts thing to me is kind of like, I look at it different because I'm like, okay, if I see a lot of strikeouts, but you have a decent batting average and you're giving me home runs, I like that because that tells me you're aggressive. You're gonna push for it. You're gonna be like, okay, it is what it is. I don't care if I'll piss off Tommy La Russa and I'll swing 3-0. And I don't care if I'm 0-2. It don't matter. I'm gonna swing. And in order to win the home run, like to win the home run batting title, that's something you kind of need. You kind of need that the notion to step up and go, if I strike out, it is what it is. Like, that's kind of what you need, which is what I see. And Fernando, like a guy who goes like, I don't care if I strike out. I'm going to get you, though. You're going to get yours one way or another. Eventually, you're going to have to come see me. And when you come see me, you're going to see the ball go over your head. That's what's going to happen. Like with Vladdy, for me, it's like he's got the power. He does. And his swing is beautiful. I do like his swing. But there have been times where the reason he doesn't have strikeouts is because there's been stretches where he's a little tentative at the plate. Where he'll go and he gets a perfect 94 straight down the middle. And he watches it and he goes, ah. And then he starts second guessing himself. And for me, I just think that's just him not really caring about the home runs. I think in his mind, he's like, whatever, I could go straight up singles. I don't care. I'm on base, and I'm doing what I got to do to help the team win. That's kind of that. You know what I mean? That's the mentality. When we're talking about this home run chase specifically, you can't have that mindset. You can't have the mindset to just go out and be like, oh yeah, bro, I'll get a couple singles. Because now at that point, you're kind of setting yourself behind. Because now you're more willing to work for walks. And in the home run race, you don't want that.
To bolster your argument, I mean, when John Carlos hit 59 home runs and led the league, ain't nobody strike out more than John Carlos Stanton that year.
And it's because in his mind, he's like, yo.
But he won the title, you know. I get
exactly,
it. Because
in his mind, he goes, I'm a swing. There's a good chance I'm going to strike out. But there's an even better chance that, guess what? This ball finna strike out this part, bro. Like, that's the mentality you need to have. And for me, one of the guys who's got the greenest green lights. I mean, me personally, I think it's him. I think Tatis got the greenest green light in all of baseball. You can also make a case that Acuna has like that same kind of green light. I personally think it's Fernando. But to me, it's like whoever wins the title, if you've looked at it, more times than not, they're a guy who has a green light. who's allowed to switch. Like for instance, Giancarlo Stanton, how many of those home runs were all but were like above his chest, almost to his neck? Dude's still swinging. And yeah. and what tells you he's got a green light, he'll swing and a miss, and he walks back to the bench, no one says a word to him. No one says, why'd you swing at that? They don't. Why? Because he's got that green light, and they know, look, is he gonna strike out? Yeah, he'll strike out, but there's a good chance that he'll hit that too. So for me, I'm going to go Fernando. I mean, again, you can make the case of Acuna. I mean, look, again, I'm not saying that Vladdy don't have a chance. But if we're talking about this specifically, the home run derby, like the home run chase specifically, it's the guy with the greenest light. And to me, the guy who's got the greenest light is Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, I've never seen a dude literally swing. Like, I've seen this dude swinging before while the pitcher's winding up. Who does that and not get back? Like, this kid is, like, ridiculous, bro. So, JJ, if I got to pick somebody right now, I'm going to go Fernando.
Yeah, and to your point about the green light, all the top five guys that we had mentioned that have the leader, right? You got Vladimir Guerrero, Acuña, Shohei, Tatis, and just these guys all got lime green lights. You know, the their teams are like, go ahead, swing for the senses. To your point, Sander, about the efficiency, I think the home runs and the efficiency conversation don't coincide with each other, kind of like Pride said. I do think that the five guys, Vladdy for sure at the moment is probably the most efficient due to what he's able to do with that. So I'll give you that point for sure. Listen, Vladimir Guerrero himself, I believe he won the home run derby last year, correct? Am I right? Or the year before, I'm going to say. Or did he lose it? I know that he did win it.
He won it. He had the trophy.
A couple years ago, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? So I know he's capable of the big swing. You mentioned that you want to see him hit one of the home runs like his dad off the ground. Listen, I want him to hit a home run like his dad without the gloves. Vladimir Guerrero without the gloves was such a gangster for batting.
Yeah, it was. That's gloveless. Old school,
I want to see his son try that at least for a game. Maybe he'll smack one in honor of his father that way. But listen, this is going to be a really tight race. I think you guys both made great points for both Fernando Tatis and Vladimir Jr. Like I said, both these guys got green lights. I'm going to go with the guy that I think needs to hit the most home runs for his team to even have a chance of making any noise. Shohei Ohtani. Listen, when we started out this season, we were talking about Shohei and is it real or not. I remember I caught a lot of slack because I said that I think he might possibly be false gold. I believe was the term that I used. I gotta come on here on June the 9th, 2021 and say, listen, this kid has changed my mind at this particular moment. This kid is great so far. I love seeing him play. You know, he's definitely well, now that Mike Trout is out, he's for sure the guy that you have to keep your eye on if you're watching Angels baseball because he's the show. You know, Arapuho's out of town. Mike Trout was hurt. So you gotta go for Shohei. So, you know, every single guy that we mentioned here, they're all great in their own way. I'm going to go with Shohei. This kid, listen, you know, probably does a great job of getting those videos. And when I see this kid, Shohei, slap these balls too. I believe yesterday he hit a 470-foot palo. Like you guys say, un palazo, you know what I mean? And for anybody that's watching our show and doesn't speak Spanish, un palazo means damn smack of the bat to the ball. You know what I mean?
Un palazo is what your parents used to do to you when you used to get a mat. That's a palazo, bro. And that's what that's
you know, you imagine like, five Ohtanis imagine
the whole right, you know.
Oh, bro, that's the Dodgers. That's like better than Dodgers. Woo!
Yeah, you know, all these guys are great, you know. And, you know, one thing that tells me when I see this list, guys, and I'll make this a final point before we move on to our next topic. You know, I see all these guys, all young guys for the most part. So it just tells me, like, you know, baseball's in a good shape when it comes to the guys that at the plate. You know, and I just hate that we have the unfortunate circumstances that we talked about in the previous block when it comes to the pitchers. Because this game, when baseball is a good game of baseball, it's so fun to watch. I think that we all here enjoy a playoff baseball game because it's really nothing like it, you know. So, you know, I see baseball in a good shape, and I just say that it has these little shades of gray that they got to figure out. So hopefully the MLB can get it together so we could enjoy the great show that is baseball. But I do want to wrap up the show with a little
quick. Go ahead. Vladdy didn't win a home run derby. He lost to Pete Alonso.
Okay.
He made the final. And so far he's only made one, which he'll probably make like more. I mean, the kid.
Is that the one that he broke the record for most home runs in a round? I think that's the one where he was in the first round.
No, it was the third round that he broke the record because he had 22 in the third round. And then he gassed out when Pete Alonso got 23. So,
yeah, I mean, if he would just played it a little conservative, maybe he would have won it. Nonetheless, Pete Alonso was great in that home run derby. Again, another young guy in the MLB just shows you that the MLB has great young stars and all over the map, you know. So I'm happy that MLB has that going for them.
Yeah, just great like the NBA, bro, with all the young talent in the NBA, bro, the MLB is the same way, bro. This young talent, bro, like the MLB will be good. People keep saying, oh my God, baseball will die. It's not going to when you got young kids like this who frankly don't care and be showboating like a month and making this interesting. Baseball will be good.
Keep an eye on that guy. He's good, man.
Yeah. Nonetheless, guys, baseball in great shape. Pride, thank you for the fact check. Appreciate that. But you know, I do want to transition to the NFL before we go. You already know it. You know, so you know, we always talk about, you know, for some reason this division gets the most buzz out of all times and. You know, the beast of the least, you know, we got the Cowboys, we got the Washington football team, the Philadelphia Eagles, and I forgot the last team on that. The New York Giants. Sorry about that. You know, these teams last year combined went for 23-40. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to be fearful of the Giants? Well, I mean, I get it. I apologize. I'm just teasing. Nonetheless, Pride, you know, this team, this division overall last year was dog water. Like we said in this show, you see the combined record last year. They went 23-40. But unfortunately, somebody got to win the division. It's just part of the league. And you got teams, you know, that can make potential wall, that have to hit the wild card because somebody in this pathetic division got to win. But, you know, all these teams in the offseason have made a lot of noise, you know, have revamped their teams and hopefully hope to come into this new season, you know, loaded. So who do you think has the best chance to win this division in the upcoming season?
So basically in this – you're asking me in this garbage team, who's going to be the recyclables?
That's basically I got to give you your soul because you called it perfect. So, Show them the background.
This right here is how I feel about the NFC. I mean, look, literally, like – dog water is like – no, from now on, when you're horrible, I'm calling the NFCs. That's it. Point blank. To all the dudes who I play Call of Duty with, if I say the NFCs, that means you're bad. So who do I think is going to win? I mean, we agree that Dallas and Eagles have no chance, right? We agree, right?
I don't agree to that. Maybe.
Okay, right. So again, you're going to say – so basically every point you're going to make is wrong because there's Dallas. They're not going to win. They're not going to win. Point blank period. Their defense is horrendous. You got Dak Prescott, who's eh. And then you got, what, Amari Cooper, who, what, half the year doesn't show up. Zeke, I don't know what's going on with Zeke. I mean, people say it's injury. I just think he don't care. And I just think it's not that he don't care. Not care is the bad thing to say. I think Zeke is tired of every time I do something good, I'm praised. Or I'm not praised, and every time I do something bad, it's my fault. That's kind of the vibe I got for him last year. Like it was like an attitude thing that he had, which frankly, I don't blame him. If I was out here, you know, doing my thing, and people were like, "Oh my God, it doesn't matter," and then one game I mess up, and they look at me and go, "Oh, you're the problem," I'd feel the same way. So Zeke right now is kind of in limbo, like you know, or in Cabo. He's mentally in Cabo. So it's kind of between Washington and New York for me. And, frankly, I'm gonna pick New York. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm gonna go drink and like pass out. You know, I'm gonna be an alcoholic. I can't believe I'm moving to New York. Top to bottom, I mean, this team is in this division. Again, we're saying who's going to be the best of the worst. That's it. Like we all know, regardless who wins the division, whoever wins the division, they're getting bounced in the first round. Like they're not gonna make a Cinderella run or nothing. Whoever wins is just gonna lose. I feel bad more for like the 11-6 team who's got to be in the wild card. That's why I feel bad for it. But I'm gonna say I'm gonna pick the Giants. You know, like I mean they have. You know, I mean look. Okay, look at them. Jalen Hurts gonna be a problem. I don't care what anybody says. Jalen Hurts gonna be a problem. Danny Dimes, what? Oh my, go in training. Look at that. What a dot. Go in training. Tyler Heinicke make me want to drink Heinicke. Oh my God, bro. I hope they signed him. just because of his name. You can never take another step again, bro. They need to sign him, and then he needs to get endorsed by Heineken right now. If that doesn't happen, bro, I'm upset. But I'm going to go with the Giants. Top to bottom, I think they – I mean, they've – I mean, they got the second-best quarterback in that division. I think he's better than Dak. That's just me. I like him better than Dak. But if you want to take Dak over him, that's not a hill I'm going to kill myself for, you know? So I'm to be nice, I'll say he's the second best quarterback. Then you look at the wide receiving core. I mean, the Giants have the best wide receiving core, and to me it's not even close. You can make an argument they got the best defense in that division. And again, if you're talking about like running backs, I mean, again, what's your flavor? Do you like Zeke or do you like Saquon? I personally like them both, but if you make me pick one, I'll take Saquon. I really will, especially in a year where I don't think his workload is going to be that much. Not only with him coming off the injury, but with them getting Kenny Galladay, there's no way they're gonna do that. It's like the same thing with Tennessee. There's no way you're going to get Julio to just keep running the ball. There's no way you're going to do that, because what was the point? You know what I mean? So, like I've said before, this is basically the Giants saying, yo, Danny, you got to prove to us you're that guy. You got to prove to us you're that guy. We want to keep you, but you have to prove to us you're worth keeping. Like I said, do I think he's going to tear the league up and be MVP? No, but I think he's going to have a solid year. I think he's going to have enough. He's going to have a good a year to prove them well enough that he deserves at least a two-year contract. I think they'll give him a two-year with like a third-year team option. So, again, when you look at
– and not to cut you off, but you don't think he'll get franchise tag?
No. If he has like a solid year, like if he has some solid production, and the only way I can see them franchise tagging him is if he has a bad year and they're like, we'll give you one last chance to prove it. That's when I would see the franchise tag coming into effect. But if they don't like what they saw, or if they did like what they see, give them a contract, give them a two-year with a third-team option, because now you still got room to maneuver. You still got room, so you're kind of still keeping him on his heels. You're keeping the flame under him just hot enough for him to realize, if I mess up, all this could be gone quick, fast, and in a hurry. So I think they're still going to keep that under him. Like I said, the Giants. I think they're going to have a solid defense. I think it's going to be more of an opportunistic defense where, like, you know, some people they're going to have like games where like they get ran over or thrown over, but then it's going to be those critical plays where like a third and 10 that needs to be stopped, or like a goal line when it's like you know, fourth and one on the goal line. They're going to get those stops. Like, I believe they have the potential to get those stops. This offense, honestly, this whole thing depends really on Daniel Jones. It all really depends on him. And frankly, if you believe in him a little bit, then you would say, yeah, the Giants could win the division. But again, I'm saying all this assuming Daniel Jones is going to have a decent year. So right now I'm going to have to pick. I'm going to pick the Giants because I just feel like top to bottom in terms of like the roster, I just think they have the best roster in that division, which again is not saying much.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to start by saying this. It doesn't matter who the hell comes out of this division. No one is going to make a run for the Super Bowl. Neither four teams are going to be contending for a championship. Not this year, not next year. Maybe the third year, because quite honestly, if you look from across the board, each team, you see some strengths, but you see glaring weaknesses and weaknesses every that won't team. Allow you. You won't. They like the weaknesses that every single team in the NFC East have will never win you a championship.
No like way.
You say, you know, and I understand. I respect 100% everything you said about the New York Giants. As much as I hate them, I respect everything you said about them because it's 100% true. They do have a team that was rebuilding. This is a proven year for them on Danny Nichols, because I don't call him Danny Dimes. I don't think he's earned the respect yet to be called Danny Dimes. So I think he's Danny Nichols to me. and honestly, that's the – like you said, I have it written down just like that. This season for the New York Giants is all dependent on the progression of Danny Dimes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If he – They go as far as he takes them because they do have an improvement in defense compared to the Cowboys. Shit, I'm gonna be straight honest. I wish we had their defense and then we could build on because is anything can't get no worse than what we were last season. That's what I'm saying. So that's the only positive that I'm looking for the Cowboys in next season. Like you can't get worse. You literally statistically can't. So maybe that could be a step in the right direction. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Yes, I know Cowboys homer. Yes, I'm a fanatic. But I'm going based off expectations. I'm going based off expectations. I'm expecting the Cowboys defense to be better for Dan Quinn. I'm expecting Dak Prescott to play better, especially after he got his money. I'm expecting Ezekiel Elliott to bounce back off a really rough year. A lot of our offensive linemen, Travis Frederick retired. Tyron Smith is actually, he spent an entire offseason training instead of rehabbing his injury. So I feel like the team is getting stronger, but it doesn't matter, JJ. What do you want me to say? Even if we win the division in this shitty-ass division, because it really is shitty, man. Even if we win this division, do you really think that I'm going to put my faith in the Cowboys beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, beating the Green Bay Packers if they have Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely, positively not. No team in the NFC East is equipped to win the Super Bowl. The Washington football team have an all-time great defense that's ready to actually win a Super Bowl right now. But guess what? Their offense is suspect as hell. I don't believe in Heineke, Fitzmagic, Fitzpatrick. I don't believe in neither quarterback. And they had Haskins. I don't believe they let him go because they didn't believe in him. Jalen Hurts said he's going to be a problem. I think he's going to be a problem, I think, after this year. I still think this is going to be a big developmental year for Jalen Hurts.
Because I just
don't think even right now he still has the skill set to take that team. Even though they've been surrounding him with a few offensive weapons, they went in the draft and they grabbed a kid from Alabama. So that's going to help. But I just think that it's kind of like Lamar Jackson-ish, where his mechanics, to me, I don't think they're on point. So, I said Washington, I said the Eagles. For the Giants, Pride, we both agree 100%. They have the team to make a push for the playoffs, but it's all reliant on how Danny Dimes play. Because I'll tell you straight up right now, if Danny Dimes plays like Danny Nichols or Danny Pennies, he's going to be out there. He's going to be out there with a cup asking for some dimes because he won't have a job in the NFL for long. So literally, I'm only saying Cowboys, and it's as hard as it is for you guys to believe. It's not because I'm here. It's not because I love them. It's really because I'm expecting them, the Cowboys, to be a lot better than what they were last season, and for all the BS that was last season, they still somehow. I was vowing for them to tank as soon as Dak got hurt when we were 1-3. They still managed to win 5 games after Dak went down. So I'm expecting with Dak to be for Dak to level the ship, Dan Quinn get the defense at least to top 20. I'm not asking for him to do what he did in Seattle with the Legion of Boom. I'm asking for at least top 20. Maybe if you give me a top 15 defense, that's asking for Christmas presents. But even if we get a 15 or a top 20 defense, you're telling me with the amount of points that the Cowboys can potentially put up, because regardless to what you guys say about the garbage points, I understand that. But because they never had a defense, if they have a defense that could keep them in the game, guys, and they're still able to put up the points that they can put up, we're looking and we're talking about a completely different team, guys. If they were to continue putting up 25-30 a game, and their defense were to be
the Patriots, no,
listen though, Pride. I hear you, Pride. Listen though.
No,
but if the defense can give you, if the dude, this is the first year Dan Quinn is going to have this defense.
When dude, you know, because you're talking about last year.
Listen, when he turned up. Around the Falcons didn't go to number one in defense. They were a top 15 defense with a high-powered offense. The Cowboys are giving you similarities in a high-powered offense and a defense that he has all the right to build. He has the keys to that defense. So I'm expecting him to build something, guys. He's not a trash quarterback. He's not what we say dog water. I mean, not quarterback. He's not a bad defensive coach. He's not dog water. Dan Quinn is respectable.
Well, that's what the universe thought about
facts,
that
take. But like. I just want to touch on one thing real quick because the reason I'm picking the Giants over Dallas, when it comes to New York to the Giants, there's only one. I hope he plays well. When it comes to Dallas, you're hoping Zeke can play well. You're hoping Dak can come back. You're hoping this defense can come up. So for me, it's like if you have three or more, I'm hoping for. And
I'm
if you're
expecting,
hoping
baby, I'm not hoping.
I'm
expecting.
Again, if you have three things where you're like, oh, bro, I hope they can get back. Because
I'm not
you
hoping.
Hoping.
I'm expecting. I
when
said
we,
I'm going based
this,
off expectations.
When we finish this, you could run it back, and you will hear you said, I'm hoping the defense will be good. I'm hoping Zach will come back. You said that. If you don't believe me, we'll run it back afterwards. But you're hoping about all these things. In New York, there's only, frankly, one question mark. There's only one question mark. And to me,
I get your point, though.
I'm not a numbers guy, bro, but I'm going to take the situation.
Galladay isn't a question mark. Galladay staying healthy. Galladay staying healthy isn't a question mark coming off an injury year. Saquon Barkley isn't a question mark coming off an injury.
So you want to talk about injury, but you think Dak will be okay? You think injuries don't matter. So you think Tyron will come back and be okay?
Don't get ahead of yourself, Jace. Super Bowl is out of the question for you guys. I'm sorry.
I will give him this. They do have the best defense in that division.
Not better than the Washington team. No, I
think you can put them in there. No. I think you.
I'm gonna give Washington the slight nod, but I say they're a better defense, but not significantly. I think that the Giants defense, when they added that kid Martinez from Green Bay, I believe his first name is Blake Martinez. He plays middle linebacker for the Giants. He was a huge addition for that team. He actually I believe he was top three in tackles in the whole league. Listen, I think this is the best chance for the NFCs. Take all your players from every team, make an all-star team, and then send that team to represent the NFC East in the playoffs. Because for you to send just one of these teams to the playoffs is atrocious. No, do a collective effort and then send that one team to the playoffs because I don't think any of these teams individually should win this division. But you guys both made great points about who you guys think will win. Every team in this division has question marks. So, honestly, it's all about who solves those question marks throughout the whole season will win. I get your point about the Dak Prescott injury. I'll give Dak Prescott this much credit. That was his first injury in the NFL. And it was a stupidly freakish, I can't believe that happened, injury. So, the word that you said, Sander, I expect him to stay healthy. But that's also a big hope in the same sentence as well. It's also a question mark. Same with Saquon. Same with Galladay. Every team, like you guys mentioned, have tremendous flaws on their teams. So it's all about who's going to get to the finish line with at least one leg because this just looks like they're all going to be dragging ass come week 18 now to see who's going to have the best record. And it might really come down to who's 7-10, who's 6-11. Blake Martinez is the best linebacker in the league. All right, wrong.
Jinx, you're the best quarterback in the league.
You must forget that there's other guys in this league.
You know what I think happened? This is what I think happened, right? Maybe I don't know nothing. I'm a stupid man, bro. The only reason I graduated high school was because of attendance. That's it. I might have missed something. I think Bobby Wagner retired. And I think Jalen Ramsey quit football. So, you know.
Jair Alexander did too.
Yeah. So, you know, the homeboy from Miami, Howard, Xavier Howard. I think he quit. I think he also retired.
I think Darius Leonard retired as well.
Yo, did TJ Watt stop playing football?
From the Bucks. I'm embarrassed that you even forget his name.
Rookie that they had last year.
Now you're pressing me, now I look stupid. I know who you're talking about. But look, Jace, I get it, but hold on, time out. Let's put this in context. This is a Jazz fan. Let's put everything in context here, guys. Once we put things in context, and now you know,
how do you go from a Giants fan to a Jazz fan? Like,
you're gonna have to explain yourself, Jace. And I'm gonna tell you something, Jace. You keep reaching like that on our show, you might pull a muscle, bro. So you better stop that. You better stop that, Jace. I love you, my brother. I'm just messing with you. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook and our Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys visit us on Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Make sure you guys check out our website, clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports, and check us out on your commute at work on Spotify, CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be right there. Jace, I appreciate you always watching this show. You're awesome. Yes, I appreciate your compliment. But I'm telling you this, my brother, if you keep talking that blasphemy here, I'm going to make sure we get you on the show, and we're going to beat up on you, Jace. I'm just kidding. I love you, brother. I'm just saying, bro. Blake Martinez, a stud, but definitely very, very, very far from being the best linebacker in the league.
Yeah, got to get through Darius Leonard first.
100%, bro.
Come on, man. There's some guys that are still playing right now.
I think he was just doing that to trigger us. I think he was doing that to trigger us. I'll be honest. Because every time
I'm triggering him.
You know why he said that? Because you said that blasphemy about the Jazz. That's why.
Oh, them being scrubs? Oh, 100%. 100%. They're like the second worst number one seed in the history of the NBA.
And guess what? He ain't going to take it back, Jay, so don't expect it.
Wait, I'm JJ Vargas,
my man Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you guys on Friday.